Now let's turn to God's Word, to the book of 1 Timothy, chapter 3. We're going to read verses 1 to 7. That's page 1192, if you're following in the Pew Bibles. So today we're starting a short two-message series as we come to looking at appointing new elders. And today I want to speak about the character of a leader, and then next week the role of a leader, particularly in terms of the eldership in the Presbyterian Church and what we expect of them. But today we look at character. So 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 1. Here is a trustworthy saying: if anyone sets his heart on being an overseer, he desires a noble task. Now the overseer must be above reproach, the husband of but one wife, temperate, self-controlled, respectable, hospitable, able to teach, not given to drunkenness, not violent, but gentle, not quarrelsome, not a lover of money. He must manage his own family well and see that his children obey him with proper respect. If anyone does not know how to manage his own family, how can he take care of God's church? He must not be a recent convert, or he may become conceited and fall under the same judgment as the devil. He must also have a good reputation with outsiders, so that he will not fall into disgrace and into the devil's trap. We end our reading at verse 7. May God bless his word. Just before I get into the body of the sermon, just want to say a few preliminary things. First of all, in terms of the process of appointing elders, well, as I've just said, I'm going to preach for these two Sundays, and then we will be seeking nominations from you, the congregation. And what we're thinking of in terms of session is we are praying, and we will be making nominations, and then you will make nominations as well. And there will be a sheet available next Sunday. You can nominate up to 10 names. Please do write the addresses as well as the names, because sometimes people in the congregation have the same name. We're not quite sure which person you're referring to, so you need to write the name and the address of the person you're nominating for the consideration by session. In terms of who can vote and be voted for, the list is out there on the board. Please do check that. If your name's not on that list, you cannot vote or be voted for. So please, if you feel your name should be on that list and it's not, please let us know today or as soon as possible. The names in orange, I think, are the elders, so you don't vote for those who are already elders, obviously. In the Presbyterian Church, men and women are both eligible for eldership and can be voted for, are equally eligible to be on Kirk Session. And then in terms of the why, which is probably the biggest question of why we're having an election at this stage, and a couple of things to say on this. Currently we have 23 elders on Kirk Session, and we just recently, as you know, we've introduced a new system of pastorates, changing from districts. So we've moved from geographical districts to pastorates. Every elder has a pastorate, is meant to oversee and pastor some people. Some of those elders will have what almost is like a pastorate similar to the old districts. But some elders have, for example, a youth pastorate. All the young people under 18 are in a pastorate, and we have three elders who oversee that pastorate with young people. All people who are in laser groups, the 30 or so laser groups, they're a huge pastorate, and they have four elders who oversee that pastorate as well. But ultimately, every elder has oversight of some people in the congregation, old or young. And with almost 1,900 people and only 23 elders overseeing. That's a bit tight, really. And it's especially tight. It doesn't allow us a lot of wriggle room if someone wishes to retire from the eldership and become an elder emeritus. And there is actually one going to become elder emeritus after Easter. And two or three elders have intimated to me that within the next few years, they will probably step aside and take elder emeritus as well. So just with that kind of thing happening, we need to provide some new elders to come in to replace that. I was going to say natural wastage, but that doesn't sound very good, does it? But it is. That's what happens. It's natural wastage, okay? And these things happen. So we need to just keep refreshing, and we keep need to have these kind of things every 5 or 7, 8 years. We need to keep doing this. But probably the main reason, and what I'm picking up from the Kirk session, as the main reason why we're seeking new elders is because the session feels that we need some freshness. We need some new vigor. We need some new ideas. We need people who will help to lead us and lead the church to reach the next generation. The elders are important. They set the direction of the church. The elders, I've said earlier there at the AGM, the elders set the values of what this church stands for. And it's important that we have a balance of those who reflect not only this congregation, but also reflect the world and the society and the culture that we're trying to reach. I said earlier to the children there that I'm 56. And I know as you look at me, you think, well, there's a fresh 56-year-old. He's very trendy looking, isn't he? And sometimes I think I'm trendy, but I'm not. I'm fooling myself. Because young at heart as I am, I do not think the same as a 30-year-old. And it seems to be, in terms of God's church, that in general, this is just in general, God reaches people through friendship networks. So 50-year-olds reach 50-year-olds. 70-year-olds reach 70-year-olds. 30-year-olds reach 30-year-olds. That's the way it is. That tends to be the way it happens. If you're reaching people, if you're trying to reach people with the gospel, you reach people within your own network, within your own friendship, your peers. And as the session have looked at themselves, I suppose they've said, we need to maybe redress this balance. As I've looked at the list of our eldership, our current Kirk session, of the 23, 9 are retired. 10 are in their late 50s and 60s, and we've only 4 in their 40s or under. Okay, so what the session is saying is they're looking for vigor. They want to redress that balance, and I want you to listen to this and also what I'm going to say in terms of this sermon today. But as we seek to appoint new elders, and as we look for your suggestions, and as we as elders also prayerfully think through, we're looking for those things to match up, and that the people you suggest, the people we suggest, that there's a commonality that the Lord is leading us to these people. But these are the reasons, particularly why we are seeking an election at this time. Now, today I want to focus on character. You'll notice in those list of attributes in 1 Timothy chapter 3 that most of them, only one really is to do with what the elder is meant to do, able to teach. But the other 14 characteristics are to do with what they are as a person, the qualities of character. And so I'm going to not slavishly go through this list, but really use it as a springboard together with other things that we see in the New Testament to reflect on what the New Testament especially says about leadership. And there are 3 C's I want to talk about this morning. One is character, the second is calling, and the third is commitment. And those are the 3 C's I want you to remember as you come to make your nominations. Character, calling, and commitment. We're looking for people of godly character. We're looking for people who have a calling to this role, to be leaders in the Church of Jesus Christ and who display leadership gifts. And we're looking for people who are committed to Christ and committed to his church. So first of all, then, character. We're looking for what you see is what you get kind of people. What you see in public is what you will get in private. The two things match up. They are people of integrity. Their lives are integrated. In this list, in 1 Timothy chapter 3, Paul mentions qualities like being above reproach, respectable, gentle, not violent or prone to drunkenness, not quarrelsome, a person who's self-controlled, a person who has a good reputation not only in the church but also outside the church. So the person isn't a church saint and a work bully or a home bully. They have a good reputation. They are the same in private and in public. They're the same in church as in their home. They're the same in church as in their workplace. And so if I were to sum up the sort of person we are looking for in words beginning with H, in terms of character, we're looking for people who are holy, who are honest, and who are humble. We are looking for a down-to-earth holiness, someone who loves God, someone who loves God's word and wants to grow in Christ-likeness. As a leader, you are always on display. People are always watching you and seeing, do your words and your life match up? Now, I'm not perfect, and elders are not perfect. We will have lapses. We are imperfect people. But the general direction will be holiness, humility, honesty. The overall direction of that person's life will be like that description of David. He was a person after God's heart. As godly people, we will be rooted in these qualities of holiness and honesty and humility. We are not putting people into leadership simply because they can run a business well. We don't put people into spiritual leadership simply because they're a good speaker on a platform. We don't put people into spiritual leadership because they are well-known or a politician. No, we're looking for people of godly character. If they're married, they are faithful and solid and loving. If they're single, they are pure, respectable in how they live and deal with people, especially people of the other sex. To be a leader, a spiritual leader, is to be a person of influence in the church. But you're also a person of influence in the community. As I said earlier, people will watch you. And if you have the gifts of leadership, then people will follow you. Someone once said, if you think you're a leader and nobody is following you, then you're just going for a walk. Leaders influence people. Now, spiritual leadership is not about the leader themselves. It's about leading people closer to Jesus. And it is very difficult to lead someone to a place that you have not been to yourself. And therefore, Paul says that the person should not be a recent convert. They need to have experienced something of life. They need to have experienced something of church and leading people. And of course, if they are just a very recent convert, someone who's just recently come to faith, then it can go to their heads. Being thrust into a position of leadership, it can just go to their heads and they become proud and conceited and they abuse the authority that they have. Christian leadership is about benefiting others. It's not about us. It's not about me seeking the glory or we seeking the glory. In the New Testament, as you know, there's an awful lot about being a servant. Jesus' style of leadership was servant-hearted leadership. He washed his disciples' feet. Remember, there is only one Messiah, and you're not it. Marcus Honeysett says this, "The goal of spiritual leadership is God being glorified in lives that are yielded to him. The purpose of spiritual leadership is to serve the team, by leading it towards the goal, becoming the people God wants them to be, and doing the things God wants them to do. The aim, if you like, for those who are in leadership is to form little Christs. Paul says, again in 1 Corinthians 11, follow my example as I follow Christ. And so an elder ought to be able to say, with still a sense of humility, follow my example as I follow Christ. Bill Hybels says this, when searching for someone to add to a volunteer team or to a paid staff position, I always remind myself, character first. I need to know that they are committed to the spiritual disciplines. I need to see evidence of honesty, teachability, humility, reliability, a healthy work ethic, and a willingness to be entreated. Lapses in character create problems with far-reaching implications. So this is the first thing. Character is king. And yes, I know I have mentioned age and the elders looking for those who are younger, but still, the most important thing is character. Even above age profile. Is this person someone who is after God's heart? The second C is calling. Ministry is a matter of calling. And calling is related to giftedness as well as character. God calls someone into leadership. His Spirit comes upon someone and maybe gives them the gift of leadership, gives them the sense that maybe they are being asked to lead other people into Christ-likeness. And often again, I found in my experience that God works through the church and he leads people to see where others have got that giftedness of calling. Before Jesus chose his disciples, he prayed. He asked for guidance. And God gave him that guidance. And then over the next weeks, he began to select his disciples who would be the leaders of his church. And they were young. I mean, it's just interesting to think through. It doesn't say in the Bible anywhere what age the disciples were, but all the commentaries are fairly much in agreement that the disciples were between age 18 and 25 because of their life circumstances and little things that we pick up about them. So they were very, very young. Jesus took risks as he established his church and as he sought to reach those generations. He prayed. He saw the giftedness in these men. Maybe it wasn't obvious to us, but as he prayed, he saw something in them. He saw these character qualities of a teachableness, a positive attitude, a willingness to take risks. And he knew that for leadership in the culture there, he would need these kind of qualities. So God's calling was upon them. And by and large, the disciples were up for it. They were positive people. They were affirming people. They had a certain restlessness about them. They wanted to do something for Jesus. Sometimes their restlessness led them to do things that were just silly, but Jesus was pleased that they were keen, they were eager. And that's the sort of people that we want to see. People who want to. Mark mentioned last week about a preferred future. People who see the preferred future for Highkirk Church and are restless and say, this is what we need to do. This is where God is leading us. We don't want those who are negative or who are grumblers or moaners. No, we want visionaries and risk takers. Speaking in terms of secular occupations, Brendan Foley says this, what people really want are vocations, not jobs. I define a vocation as something you would do because you love it so much, even if you were never paid for it. Someone who is called into leadership in the church, you are not going to be paid. That almost is a given. And most of church life is volunteer. But whether you're paid or not, that's irrelevant because you have this calling that is on you. You have this sense from God that God wants to use you to lead other people into Christ's likeness, into God's kingdom. And I would encourage you, if you sense that, to be open to that calling today, that inner voice, that unsettling. Whenever I ask people to think for a moment about someone that they greatly admire, I want you to think of someone you admire, maybe more than anybody else. I suspect that 9 times out of 10, the person that you admire, it's to do with their attitude. Not so much with what they do, but their attitude in life. Attitude is so important. If we are called, our attitude will be positive. Our attitude will be much better in terms of leading others. We will be gifted. And as our calling matches up with our gifting of leadership, there will be joy and there will be happiness and there will be flourishing of both the person and the people who are being led. A survey was done recently of 100 of America's largest companies. And they were asked the main reasons why they fired people. And the vast majority, maybe 30% of the reasons for firing people was just incompetence. They just weren't up to the job. And so they fired them. They were not a good fit. And so what we're looking for are leaders who are a good fit. But another reason why many people were fired was because they had the wrong attitude. And if you are meant to be a leader, an elder, you will have the right attitude, and it will become obvious. God has gifted you for this task. Is your attitude good? You're not a person who lies or acts dishonestly. You're not a person who manipulates people. It's back to the character again. A person who is honest and holy and humble, but open to what God has for them, called by God into this task. Are you that sort of person? So we're looking for people of godly character. We're looking for people, and as we pray, we sense, as Jesus sensed about the disciples, we sense these are the people that God is choosing to lead us forward. And as we pray as session, as we pray as congregation, we're hoping that there will be a lovely matching up of names, that names will start to appear and recurring names that God is leading us to. So character is king. Calling is necessary. And thirdly, finally, and briefly, the third C is commitment. We are looking for those who are committed to Christ and committed to Christ's church. And that will involve people who are willing to make sacrifices of time, of energy, of money. I've often said from this pulpit that as far as a Christian is concerned, your priorities are 1, God, 2, your family, and 3, the church. That's the order of your priorities, and it's the order of my priorities. But as a leader in the church, because the church is also your family, it's a very close third to the second. And sometimes we might find, actually, that we might have to sacrifice something even of family time for a while to focus on church, and then we recover that time later. But it's important to get this right, that our commitment, if we are an elder, is a commitment to leading the church, and that takes time and it takes energy. And it's to be clear on that, there is a cost. There are many distractions in our world today. Note that one of the qualities that Paul mentions here of an overseer is not a lover of money. And that represents a whole lot of stuff. It represents the hold of the world. The hold of the world is very strong on people in our culture. Money, possessions, people just want the nice home, they want the nice car, and that's what they seem to live for. And that's not the sort of people we're looking for in eldership. Not a lover of money. Not a lover of the world and all it offers. But we are consumed by the kingdom of God. We want God's kingdom to prosper. And so we're here. We're looking for people who are here Sunday by Sunday. Not people who are here kind of once a month or whatever. We want people who are here committed to Christ's church. We're looking for people who have a heart for prayer, who can be found at the prayer meetings. We're looking for people who have a heart for service, who are already leading in an aspect of service in our youth organizations or in some other organization. They are already leading. They're already giving time. They're already saying this is important. People who have a heart for worship, a heart for service, a heart for giving of themselves. These are the people that we're looking for. So please pray. Please pray over these next couple of weeks that names will start to come. And I recognize in a large congregation that you don't know everybody. There's a limited number of people that you know. I recognize that. And so that's why the session are also, I suppose, giving the lead in this and thinking and praying also. But we are very much looking to you as the congregation, to God working through you to bring that sense of affirmation. Character, calling, commitment. And we'll continue this next Sunday, God willing. Let's pray. Lord, in your word, you set as an important thing in church that we have elders, those who lead us, our overseers. And so as we come into this process over the next few weeks, just lead us by your Spirit. Guide us as to who you would like to be added to our eldership, our leadership. Guide us, we pray, by your Spirit, so that there will be a lovely meeting of minds, a clear process where certain names are becoming apparent and rising to the surface. Help us, Lord, to be open to that in these next few weeks. In Jesus' name and for his glory we pray. Amen.